Sheriff Frederick County's with us, Sheriff Chuck Jenkins. I know this is out of your norm. You know, you're usually down, you know, big places, you know. You know, like Fox News or White House. But I'm very proud of you, Sheriff, for doing that. But I want to talk about something, and Frank doesn't, but I'm going to talk about it. And I want to remind you that you were down at the White House the other day when members of the ICE and the Border Patrol were being recognized by our president. And I knew you were one of the guests down there by the president.
That's correct.
How was that event?
Great event. I'll tell you, the president really honored the families of the ICE agents and Border Patrol who were killed over the past year. He honored them and just spoke highly, you know, of what they do on the border, what they do as far as immigration enforcement across the country. And he really honored the families.
Well, I know one of the leaders in the country is Sheriff of Frederick County regarding illegal immigration. And I get lackadaisical, I get, complacent about it. And then something happens, like we found out what happened yesterday with a lady by the name of Molly Tippett. And I'll give you the background if you don't know, if you lived under a rock or something. Molly Tippett was a college student who went jogging one morning and never returned. Her body was found, and they arrested her murderer. And that would be the end of the story, except the part that girts me, that grabs me, is that the suspect is an illegal alien, and that bothers me.
Tim, what a terrible, senseless, needless tragedy, death of a young American, 20-year-old. I've got a daughter 20 years old that goes to college, so I can relate to that.
Sure.
What a needless, senseless act. And every one of them across the country should not have occurred.
Right. And what my friends on the left, hey, like that, Frank, my friends on the left.
Hear that? I have no friends on the left.
I know that, but I do, with the exception of Frank. But they want to say right away, well, you know, illegal aliens commit less crimes than...
Tim, that's not true, because there's no measure of the crimes committed because they don't know who's in the country legally and who's not.
Right.
So there is that's trying to measure a negative. Yeah. You can't do it because no one tracks it. Very few agencies like we do track it.
Well, my point would be one crime committed by an illegal alien...
It's too many.
It's too many, because if that illegal alien was not here, the crime would not have been committed.
Right.
And there's another story, I don't know if you've seen it yet, run by your office yet, about the illegal alien they just got for the rapes. He started raping people in 2012, and they finally caught him again. I know that it's not every illegal alien. I would say this, Sheriff. Most illegal aliens are here to earn a living, to take care of their family. They're God-fearing people. And they're escaping a horrendous...
To have a better life.
A better life. No question.
I would agree with that.
100%.
100%.
Right. Now, because we don't have a vetting system, because you can't vet someone who comes in illegally. They're not, you know, somebody comes in through the door at the school, you can vet them because they have their ID and everything. But if the school has a second entrance and somebody leaves the exit door open, you can't vet them.
Yeah.
I want to hear more about what the president is, you know, build the wall. We know
four,
that.
Tim, four
good.
Things we need
okay,
to do.
Okay, good.
Number one, build the wall, secure that border, whatever the wall is, whatever technology goes with that,
sure.
Make it happen, get it done.
Okay, doesn't necessarily have to be a physical wall.
Well, it probably should be, at least the most part. So, number two, border enforcement, okay? Give the Border Patrol the resources, the manpower, the technology, the equipment, the money they need to do the border enforcement. Number three, interior enforcement, which is what we're doing in Frederick County.
Right.
So the ones that are within the country, the interior of the country, who are committing crimes, work with ICE to get them out. Number four, fill or put more immigration judges on the bench,
mm-hmm.
because there's such a backlog of cases. And this is what the public generally doesn't know. There's such a backlog of cases that typically when someone's given an immigration hearing, right now it could be as long as 5 years out. We need to shorten that. We need to tighten that up. So four things: border security, border enforcement, interior enforcement, and more judges in the immigration courts.
Now, a lot of people listening, Frank, a lot of people listening, Sheriff, might think, okay, yes, this San Jose, California, this is Albuquerque, but does that even affect little old Frederick County?
Absolutely. It affects every county, every city in the United States.
Every jurisdiction.
Because, listen, the illegals that come here, especially the ones who are drug trafficking, committing crimes, human trafficking, the gangs, the criminal gangs, MS-13, they don't stay in the border towns, the border counties. They come to the interior because that's when they can filter in and they can hide. And unless you encounter them through law enforcement, they get lost in the woodwork.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's no one that –
Listen, 95% of the heroin that's used on the streets right now that's killing our young people in this county comes from and through Mexico, through the open borders.
And, of course, we know how bad that is, especially with the fentanyl that's being introduced into it, and the instant death is, the first time they use it may be their last time.
I was at the White House a couple of weeks ago, invited by the White House to be in an event where the president honored the Angel families. Very moving. Again, family after family after family who got up there and cited the circumstances that they lost their sons, their daughters through shootings, both intentional, not intentional, savage.
What are Angel families?
They are the families of American victims of crimes committed by criminal aliens. So basically, all their family members were lost to crimes of violence or motor vehicle crashes at the hands of people in this country illegally. It shouldn't happen.
No, I agree. Frank, there's no way in the world that I know you too well that you really disagree with anything the sheriff's saying. What you may disagree with is the way and manner that we are. Here's another thing. I'm going to speak for Frank. If he'll correct me. Is we know we have a screwed up immigration system in the United States. It's messed up.
Tim, it's because we don't enforce the law. The laws are there.
Okay.
The mechanism is there. The resources are there.
Okay.
Give us the policy and the will to do what we need to do.
Frank.
The president can do that.
Yes, he can.
Well, let me ask you, Sheriff, because you were at the White House attending the ceremony just the other day. Salute to the heroes.
Right.
And the president was talking to about 150 officers and agents from ICE and Customs and Border Protection, called them great patriots who sought to protect the nation against crimes by undocumented immigrants. And then he went on to talk about those who have concerns about ICE. And he said, quote, for you having to be demeaned by people who have no idea what strength is, really very sad. They have no courage. They have no guts. They just have big, loud mouths. Would you agree with the president?
Who is he talking about?
Apparently those who have questions about current ICE policy.
Well, first of all, any elected official in Washington, D.C. who advocates doing away with ICE has lost their minds. They've lost their minds.
Sure.
It's not going to happen. It shouldn't happen.
Well, let's get away with
it. It's a law enforcement agency, law enforcement.
We need to get rid of the police because, there's people getting picked up and spending time in jail. It's a waste of time. Let's get rid of the police. And that's what they're saying.
That's what would be next.
Get rid
of the sheriff's office.
Sure.
Get rid of the city police. Get rid of the state police.
Yeah, and let's close the jails down because it's only housing people and putting them through this. And I'm being very, very sarcastic here. Because after this short break coming up, I want to direct calls to you. And this is the time to ask the man, ask the sheriff, go ahead and criticize it. I mean, he could take criticism, and maybe there is a way that you can get through to him that it'll make him think something different. But let me tell you, one of the things that I've witnessed in Frederick County, Maryland, when asked, we have once a year he has a get-together, not required by law, but because the open and transparency of the ICE program here in Frederick, 287G is called, and he welcomes people to come and voice their opinions, and he accepts the opposition people. But the sickening part that I heard is I heard the accusations, and then when given the opportunity, okay, you say your grandmother or your sister or you heard that they were stopped by a taillight out and they're thrown in jail and we haven't heard from them again, and all the sheriff has, bring me one complaint. Bring it to me. And how many of you have received thus far?
Zero. Not one.
Not one?
Not one phone call, not one visit, not one follow-up. And I actually that night offered people there.
Before
I leave here tonight, come up to me and talk to me.
Yeah.
Give me a name, an event, a date, location.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And it didn't happen.
Well, the reason it didn't happen.
The best they could do is racist.
Yes. That's it. That's right.
That's
racist.
That's the whole card.
What I don't understand is because this is not a race issue. I mean, I don't understand that. You'd have to explain to me somebody out there on the left, and I know you're driving around there. It's okay, and you're Prius. But anyhow,
Let me ask you this. Now, where are the critics of Donald Trump today What do they have to say about the 95-year-old Nazi war criminal who he just deported after this guy tried to fight deportation
for 15 years?
15 years.
15 years.
The president said, do the right thing.
And
get
he's
him
gone.
Out of here.
Exactly. And that should inspire people to think that, you may not like, I don't want to talk about the president because it's not about him. It's about our country and what we can do to save it. Because I can think if we don't do something, we don't ever look like a Venezuela or a Cuba. But I see bad things, like places like Chicago. I'm going to read some of these questions for you. Let's start with the top here. It says, Sheriff, what was before ICE? Does Jenkins know? What did ICE replace? I dare you to ask him. I just asked you.
Actually, it was INS, Immigration Naturalization Service, but it was really reconstructed after 9/11.
Yep.
Okay, very good.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, I know you did, I guess. Awful story. But Jenkins' daughter, greater risk by an undocumented immigrant than natural-born citizen. If Jenkins simply went on the FBI Crazy Me site statistics, he would see that. Look, I don't have anything against Jenkins. I think he's a good small-town sheriff. But it does scare me how ignorant he is about the facts. What facts are you talking about? Oh, the community may be changing to the point where his time has passed. Oh, in other words, we're going to stop law enforcement. This same guy.
Okay.
All right. And he also wants to know, tell me, Sheriff, what's the return of a 95-year-old Nazi war guard returned to Germany has anything to do with Trump or Jenkins? Help me out since I brought it up.
My point was the people who criticized Trump for enforcing the immigration laws against the Latinos, Central Americans of Mexico, he's now enforced the law by ordering this guy back out of the country back to Germany. That's my point. It's about enforcing the law. It's not about targeting any ethnic group or any
But ICE didn't directly have anything to do
with they did.
Return of the Nazi war criminal?
Sure they did. Absolutely, yeah.
That's their job.
They did.
That is their exact job.
Yeah.
Once his status was changed, they have a right to step in and get rid of him. That's exactly who it was. That's what you said, number three, interior enforcement, right?
And I can tell you through our program, we encounter people from all over the world, Southeast Asia, China, Uzbekistan, Africa, the Congo. I mean, all over the world. We don't just place Mexicans and Central Americans in deportation proceedings. It's all over the world, Tim. Anybody who commits a crime.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand how one of the texters here saying,
these are texters from the left. I'm taking it right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awful crime. Terrible loss. Politicized. Out of the 50 murders that happened in this country yesterday, how many were committed by undocumented? If it was one, it's too many. That's what I can't get through to those individuals. If it was one, it's too many.
Too many.
That's the
just like the shootings in Chicago.
Yes.
Too many. 66 too many last weekend.
Yeah.
77 too many the weekend before.
That's what I don't understand. That's why I can't get through, because you have to have a common sense starting point. If there were no illegal aliens, just in a polyanic, hypothetical, hyperdermic world, then that murder wouldn't have happened, in my humble opinion. Richard, let's see what Richard has to say. Richard, what do you have you to say?
Hi.
Hi there.
Sheriff, I want you to know I deeply appreciate all that you do, and I deeply appreciate all that all law enforcement officers do.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
I was going to say, the thing that gets me is that how many ways can people who want to give support to illegal aliens denigrate and, to me, spit in the face of people who came here legally? There's a reason we have things the way they are. It is bad enough that we got homegrown criminals without having other people coming in illegally and committing criminal acts.
Right on the mark.
Not all of them do.
Right on the mark.
Not all of them do.
No.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that not all homegrown people commit crimes, and not all illegal aliens commit crime, but there's a way of doing it. But my question to you is, can you explain when you apprehend somebody, what you go through in order to determine that they are here illegally? Everybody thinks that you guys just drive around and you look at somebody who's Hispanic 2 ways from Sunday and go, oh, that's an illegal, and you pick them up. Can you explain to how that acts?
That is absolutely not true. What we do is that we ask no questions on the street in regard to immigration status. We don't ask any questions based on your race, ethnicity, or anything else on the street. Everything we do is a series of questions that we ask after an individual is arrested, physically arrested, taken into central booking, into our jail. That's where we determine what your immigration status is. We ask you two questions. We ask everybody the same two questions. Where were you born, and what country are you a citizen of? And any answer other than the United States of America, we do an immigration status investigation, a series of questions. And based on those questions, we determine whether or not we file a detainer, which is reviewed by ICE, and all the decisions are made by an ICE supervisor as to whether or not that person will be detained after their local charges are taken care of.
Very good.
Is that, Richard, is that pretty clear?
Yes, sir. I appreciate you doing that because I don't think everybody understands exactly what it is that you do when you go through that determination of legal or illegal people being.
And, you know, I've probably explained that 10,000 times over the years, but the media never puts that out in print or on the radio. It's always what they think it is. It's always the perception. Well, that's wrong.
And perception being if you
pull over. And let me say this.
Sure.
Not only my deputies, but there's no law enforcement in Frederick County that ask any questions on the street in regard to immigration status. Zero. None.
Right. So it makes the scenario so much nicer for someone who doesn't like legal immigration to say, well, you know, my aunt was driving, her blinker was out, and now she's in the Hooskow.
Well, it goes back to that meeting a few months ago, Tim, where I invited, some woman got up there and talked about
a
traffic stop where someone was held and deported.
Yes.
I said, bring me the citation, give me a name, give me a set of circumstances, let me look into it, and guess what? The woman disappeared.
I noticed that.
Yep.
It was just the same way when they bring these stories up to you that they, the people that are paid by, I don't want to say, you know, people like Casa de Maryland or anything like that, but you and I have sat through many of meetings for presentations when they bring in these scenarios, these stories, and they're not even from around here.
Let me put out two numbers. Over the 10 years of our involvement with the program, we have placed into deportation 1,600 people that were in this county illegally that committed crimes are now gone, including more than 100 gang members, mostly MS-13. So I'll hang my hat on those numbers.
And the fact that she was murdered by an illegal alien. And again, I don't understand. I'm not trying to fight you on this, but you all text me saying, well, the illegal aliens commit less crime. I don't care. One crime is too many. If the illegal alien was not here, that crime wouldn't have. Kate Steinle, now Molly Tippett. There's on and on. The point is, I'm not saying that we're comparing ratios. I don't care. The point I'm saying that I do care, if that illegal alien wasn't here, these individuals would still be alive.
Let me add one thing. I'll bet you, and I don't know, but I'll bet you right now that this young man, the illegal who killed this Molly Tibbetts, I'll bet you based on his age, his circumstances, that he was here under the DACA provision. I bet he was protected by DACA, and he should have been removed, but he wasn't.
Okay, we'll find out about that.
We'll find out.
Yeah, that's the point. And the reason is, and it's amazing to me how some people can be supporting the fact that a 95-year-old Nazi was taken out of the country. Well, I'd like to be the one to take him out of the country, but he wouldn't have made, anyhow, I won't say that on the air. But my point being is, illegal is illegal all the world round. And I don't think, I'm convinced that the election, 2018 election, nothing's going to change because I don't see any changes coming to Congress or the Senate to mount to anything. So I can tell you it's about time that we pick up on this and understand that you have to protect. Citizens have a right. I think you remember your swearing in back in the 1800s, whenever it was. They said, you know, defend, raise your hand. You said you'll defend the Constitution of the United States. And in that,
enforce the laws and the Constitution of the United States, right. America, and the state of Maryland.
Right. And this is part of your job. So
it is. It
is amazing to me that the naysayers that say the sheriff is out of touch with the people in this county. No, you're not, Sheriff. I can tell you, speaking, I'm one of these people in this county. We don't want you to slow down. We don't want you to fall into this trap that somehow that you shouldn't be doing your job, in my humble opinion. 301-694-9363, 301-694-9363. And, of course, the vet urgency line is the same if you wish to text. Okay, Frank.
Oh, I have questions and concerns for the sheriff.
I'll go for it.
But I would remind everybody that this is your opportunity to get in touch with the sheriff on this or any other topic while we got him here in the studio. So, you know, please call in. I'll defer. But I don't know if you happen to hear this past Saturday, a really good interview on the Fredericks Forum program. Darren Wickfield was talking to an immigration attorney in Frederick County. And what he said, I agree with. And that is, I don't want ICE to go away because I have kids. And if they're going to go after serious criminals, they're supporting the safety of my kids
exactly, out there.
Okay?
Exactly.
Let's forget about these people who want to abolish ICE.
Okay.
I mean, I respect, but I don't agree.
I don't respect them. I think they lost their mind.
Here's my concern.
Talk to me.
Is are they continuing to be focused on undocumented immigrants with serious criminal records? Because, like, the study came out that showed that those without criminal histories have more than tripled under the Trump administration. Federal arrests is what I'm talking about, caused by a new ICE tactic of arresting without warrants people who are driving or walking down the street or these sweeps of likely immigrants. What do you say to people who just have that concern but don't want to abolish ICE?
I can't say whether that's true or not, Frank. I know it doesn't happen in Frederick County. Mm-hmm. I do know that for a fact. Even when ICE is in here doing operations that don't involve us, I know they're targeting criminals and gang members. I do know that. So I don't believe the narrative that they're out there rounding everybody up. I believe they specifically target certain classes of criminals.
Mm-hmm.
No gang members is a priority. MS-13 is a priority by the president. I do believe there are people. Now, they may not have a criminal record in the United States, but they may, in fact, have a criminal record from their country of origin. So that's another set of circumstances that we don't necessarily know about.
You heard the story. Of course, if you didn't look into it, you'd think that the ICE had lost their minds when they pulled a car over. An illegal alien was taking his wife to the hospital to have a child. The only thing is that
he's wanted for murder.
He's wanted for murder, yeah.
Doesn't matter, right?
No, apparently not, no.
Absolutely. Well, but you talked about locally, and I'm not talking about the sheriff's department. I'm talking about ICE.
What I'm telling you that there are ICE agents working in this county aside from our program.
Okay? Right.
All right, so I know that they come into my office on a fairly routine basis and tell me about certain criminals that they're looking at, that they're trying to find, and primarily serious all that I know of are serious criminals and or criminal gang members.
But if there are people working at the 7-Eleven in Thurmont, you know.
But we don't necessarily know what's in those people's background. I have no way of knowing that. ICE knows that. I don't. They know who their targets are. I don't.
Yeah, that's a point that we never bring up, that you know, they may not, you know, they may be that person working at 7-Eleven in Lewistown.
They may have killed two people in Honduras.
Exactly.
Maybe, but we don't know, as you said.
Right.
We don't
know. But what do you do, though?
But you have to trust the fact they are the authority, they're the agency that are tasked with getting these criminals and these people out of here, that are enforcing our laws.
And right before you take this call from John, I had a question here. This was a good text here. Hang on a second. Hang on, push that button. It says, 10 years, 1,600 deported. Average is 160 a year, or nearly one every other day. And we are but one out of over 3,100 counties in the United States. Wow. Houston, we do have a problem. That's unbelievable. Yeah. Let's go to the John. John, what say you?
How you doing, Tim? And John, let me tell you something. Why do people don't understand this thing? It's like, people, hey, Tim and Sheriff.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Why do people don't understand this whole mess? I mean, it's like people talking about profiling. Aren't law officers on duty supposed to be looking at everything they see all day long and not part of their job, Sheriff?
Absolutely.
And so if that's profiling, I hope we keep doing it forever and ever. And the other thing is, why do we have to have criminals before we deport them? The law says they're not supposed to be over here, whether they're straight as an arrow or they're a criminal, until they come back in here with the proper documentation. Why is this so hard for Americans to see? Where do you think a lot of our extra money is going? Are we that weak anymore? Are we really that bad in shape, Sheriff?
Apparently we are, because how many agencies, how many counties are doing what we do? And I agree with you. The enforcement should be far greater than the serious criminals.
It's not whether they're criminals or not. They're not in here legally. I mean, I got a dear well with them. You two know who you're talking to now. That works for Homeland Security nice. And that's all I'm going to say about it. But I'm telling you right now, if it doesn't get stronger, it's going to get worse.
I don't know if these people live in a dream world or what. If you're over here and you don't have the proper documentation, I don't care if you're married with six kids, a grandfather with this or that, it's time for you to go and come back right.
And that's what the
arms up to everybody, do it right. How hard is this?
And that's what the president's message is, and I believe we're going to start to go in that direction. I really do.
All right, we're going to have to take your call. Question for the sheriff, that's okay, 301-694-9363. Frank, did you have a sheriff question for me?
Let me go back to an ICE question.
Okay,
because
ICE,
I'm not sure.
ICE, yeah.
I understand what the deal is with turning a profit on
question.
On detainees.
Through our housing program.
Yeah.
Through the housing program.
He would rather you lose money. No, go ahead, Frank.
Oh, sure. They all would.
The sheriff's office gets $83 per inmate, right?
Correct. Per day.
Per day to house immigration detainees. So they did an audit. They found the cost of an inmate is anywhere from $21 to $53 per day.
That's what they found, but they took into consideration factors that normally aren't taken into consideration based on government auditing practices. Now, this was an independent audit. It was not something that was
you did,
that I did, or the county executive did. This individual, this lady that did this audit, is as good as they get.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she works for an independent audit authority, so she did this with the most conservative numbers that you could come up with. But again, numbers that generally are not included when you capture costs. So, in reality, the number is on the low end, Frank. But if you even consider the high end. Okay, over the course of time, the reimbursement that we receive for housing these inmates has far exceeded the cost, and that money all goes back to the general fund. This is not like a grant. This is a reimbursement at a rate per day that's in a contract.
So any profit goes to the...
It goes to the county. It doesn't go to me. It goes to the county.
The county's general fund.
The county's general fund.
Yeah, but you're saying he's making money off of it. Why should we be making money off of it, you're saying?
No, I'm asking. I don't know.
The term is not making money. The rate of reimbursement exceeds the cost of housing an inmate. It is what it's like a hotel. You know, it's like a hotel. They offered to pay that much. Now, if they come back and said, "Sheriff, I'll give you $40 a day," I'd say no. How's your own people?
Gotcha.
No, it's not as though it's a.
It's not. Listen, it's,
if it covers the costs, we're okay.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, because again, to me, the most important piece of it is. We're assisting ICE in carrying out their mission of deporting illegal criminals.
Plus, you're not throwing anybody out because we have the room to have them.
Right, correct. I've got more than enough room.
Okay, that's good. Let's go to Mary. Mary, good afternoon. What say you?
Hi there.
Hi there.
Mary Posey.
Hi, Mary.
As usual, thank you for all that you do for the citizens of this county. I have a question. The student resource officers...
Right.
I work in the school system. I respect their work, hold them in high regard, all that they have to deal with. I also go in and help with the pyramid program. And many times some of our deputies have to show up and help with some of those students. But my question is, back when the unfortunate, well, it could have been tragic. The incident at Catoctin High School with the student. And I actually am very close to some of her extended family. But I am curious to know, did any of your training for your sheriff, the resource officers, did any of that change based upon one of the things that was reported that she did in the Frederick News Post, which was she apparently got very close in terms of would engage in conversation with the Catoctin High School student resource officer.
Correct, correct.
Asking questions and just showing almost just an unnecessary level of interest.
Right, gaining her confidence. Gaining her confidence.
There you go.
Yep.
So my question for you is, how has that, if at all, changed the training with your resource officers?
It has not changed the training, but that was a tough lesson learned because now we have to change the way, unfortunately, that we can interact with some of these students.
Right.
We you know, again, a tough lesson learned up there.
Well, explain.
Because a part of the reason we're there is to develop relationships. So we have to back off of that a little bit for obvious reasons.
Well, I never even thought of it that way, but I see your point. I know over at Middletown High, I know we have a different resource officer there. Of course, I have no children there anymore.
Right.
But the one who was there, oh, he was so beloved.
And he will be back. You're talking about Deputy Smothers.
Yes, I am.
He will return.
Mark, very good.
First of the school. Yeah, and you know what? The school, the community loves Andy. He's a great guy. I've worked with Andy for my entire 28 years. It's great to have him back in that role. But, again, we have to look at the way, and, again, part of the reason we're there is to develop relationships and build that trust. Unfortunately, we've got to be a little more guarded in the way we interact.
There you go. All right. Thank you, sir, for all you do.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary. 301-694-9363. 301-694-9363. So back to Frank's question. This is like a win-win for Frederick County. One, we're taking illegal aliens off the street. We're housing them in our jail that we already have there. It goes against our expenses. We make a little bit. Well, we're covering our expenses, which is great, and we're able to turn money back into the county. What is the negative about this? I'm looking for any negatives. I don't see the negative.
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I don't think there is a negative.
Frank, you have a negative on that when we went through the numbers, the money? Because that was one of the big criticisms from people that, you know, don't like you or the or whatever. I know there's nobody like that in the world, but what I'm asking is there was alleged that the county was losing $1 million a year.
That's totally false. We've never lost money in this in the housing program. We've never lost money. Okay, in the ICE program, in the ICE program, every cost associated with that program is paid for by ICE through the federal government. So there is no money to lose
for in Frederick County.
That's correct.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right. Let's see what Josh has to say. Josh, what have you to say to the sheriff?
Thank you for taking my call, and I just wanted to say it's a pleasure to talk to you, Sheriff. And, there's a reason why Frederick County is one of the safest counties in Maryland, if not, in the Northern Virginia area as well. It's because of, the team you've put together and the kind of no-nonsense, which I appreciate, towards those who break the law, and I just wanted to say that a lot of people out here support you.
Well, thank you very much, Josh. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And I also wanted to say I was listening to the news, radio, and I was taken back to hear that there was, prostitution in Thurmont. I mean, I know there was a Thurmont Police Department.
Is that right? I didn't read about that.
There is prostitution that sets up. A lot of it's done online now, and it sets up in the hotel, local motels.
Oh, so
I
didn't know there's a hotel.
It's everywhere.
Is there a hotel in?
Yeah, it's just that, Frederick County is a great place to live, and, keep doing what you're doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And let me follow up with what Josh said. He's absolutely right, and I didn't point this out, but we are one of the safest counties in the region when it comes to the crime rate per capita. We are about one-third of the national average of crimes per 1,000 people. And
Amen.
That's a great place to be.
Amen.
And again, not only because of law enforcement, but I say this all the time, because of the quality of the people in Frederick County.
Sheriff, if we are doing well as far as safety and crime rates and all of that, going back to immigration issues,
right.
Are you seeing any kind of spike in MS-13, any gang activity? Is it just always kind of gradually going up? Is it leveling off?
Let me tell you, the tentacles of MS-13 are here in Frederick County. They've been for a number of years. The number of gang members is growing in this region because primarily they're based in Prince George's and Montgomery counties, but they are in Frederick. They're continuing to come to Frederick. Now, they're not committing the number of crimes that we're seeing down in Montgomery.
Right. But
it's
we
a
have
little
that,
quieter, but it's here. But let me tell you something else. I met with the FBI, had a discussion about gang initiatives here a couple of months ago, and I didn't realize this, but MS-13 actually likes this region, this area in Frederick County, because it reminds them of El Salvador, believe it or not. I never knew that.
So
the mountains, the rolling hills, the remoteness, yes.
Really?
So they're drawn out here for, it's a good quality of living.
But
for
we had the murder case.
We do have our violent crime here occasionally, but it's not to the level. Listen, Tim, 15 miles away in Montgomery County, MS-13 gang crime is up 67% this year. Now, there's a reason we're not seeing that in Frederick County.
Why? Of course, we can't answer the question what would be on everybody's mind. Why in the heck don't they do something about it? But that's for another day.
But just ask yourself, why don't we see that level of violence up here? There's a good reason for that.
First, we have 287G.
That's
second
a piece
of, all,
of it.
And what else is it? What else do they fear?
I think to a large degree that keeps that element out, because if they know they're going to do their – they're not coming to Frederick County, I don't believe, to do their deeds if there's a chance they're going to be deported.
Okay. That's reasonable.
I think that's a deterrent.
They're waiting for you.
Okay. Good afternoon. You're live local on the radio.
Hey, Tim. How are
you? Hey, Bill. How are you?
Okay. Hi, Sheriff. You still there?
I am, Bill.
The High Sheriff.
I just want to remind everybody, you're talking about money. Just remind everybody here that – since Chuck Jenkins has been sheriff, High Sheriff of Frederick County, he has given millions of dollars back to the county every year. No sheriff has ever done that I know of, okay? Now, Sheriff, can you answer a question that's probably going to come up to you? A person has an ICE detainer on him, and
yes,
he's staying in trial for something. If he would get out on bail, what would happen? And I'll hang up and let you answer, okay?
No, wait a minute. Are you talking pre-trial or are you talking
pre-trial?
After? Either or, okay.
Either or, yeah.
Okay, pre-trial, if he makes bail for the local arrest, the local charge, he is still in our custody. He's in ICE custody because that detainer exists. Now, he'll also get a hearing before an immigration judge, potentially to get a bond on that ICE charge, on that ICE detainer. So there's another due process beyond just the local charge.
But if he were in a sanctuary county,
he would walk.
He would walk.
Is that Bill's gone? Bill's gone.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Does that answer your question, Bill?
Yeah, I thought maybe somebody's going to call up today that might have watched the arraignment of this animal to kill this girl.
Yeah, what a shame.
And he was taking that she could put him on bail, but he is under a nice detainer. So
right.
I'm just saying, what would have happened if he would have made bond? Would ICE take him or leave him here to stand trial?
ICE would keep him in custody to stand trial. However, he would be in their custody, and he would not get a bond on that charge from ICE.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, bye.
All right, 301-694-9363, 301-694-9363. All right, what are you talking about, Frank? What are you going? Any more questions?
Has anybody...
What kind of answer is that?
I guess nobody would ever ask you this, Sheriff, but I've heard muttering, not a lot.
Are you muttering?
But is the sheriff's on, with Fox and Friends, and he's at the White House ceremonies, and he's so passionate about the immigration issue and ICE and all of that. Is this a distraction?
Not at all. I do that on my time. Listen, I'm sheriff 24/7, yes, but I never let – matter of fact, I've turned down some Fox interviews because I thought it would interfere with whatever my schedule was. But the interviews in Fox are always in the early morning hours. The trips down when I'm invited to the White House, it's an honor to get that invite. They do not interfere with my duties or my job in any way, shape, or fashion.
I would hope you would never say no to the White House.
No way.
No matter who's the chief executive down there.
Correct.
So,
right. But no, I don't let it interfere. It doesn't interfere. And again,
it also brings national prominence to you to this, to you, but to our county.
To the office here.
Yeah, it does. Sure. Absolutely. Because you never say it's me. You always name the men and women who work for me. And
But believe me, the detractors are going to make an issue out of it. I'm sure of that. But when I can get a chance to be on a national media and get some points across that are relevant to whatever conversation, whatever case to be made, I'm going to take that opportunity. But again, it does not interfere.
I would
listen. There's nobody else in Frederick that meets a ride from Fox at 4 in the morning to be there to 6:15 interview. I must be nuts, but I do it.
Well, I'm not saying a word because Frank will say something. But let's see, 301-694-9363. Frank, we don't have 3 minutes left. What, Frank?
All right. Well, I could
talk to
the sheriff for hours.
No, he's going to talk to you for hours.
Once you
leave here, Frank, and you'll be riding with him, in fact, he said.
Elections are coming up, Sheriff.
Oh.
I don't want to talk about anything real local.
Okay.
Because you probably don't want to get too opinionated about very local races. But the governor's race in Maryland. Do you think Governor Hogan has been supportive of what you need to get things done. What do you think would happen if Ben Jealous became governor?
I think this state would be a disaster, total disaster. He is totally anti-law enforcement. Governor Hogan's been very supportive of law enforcement, not necessarily on the immigration issue. I think he stays away from that. I don't know what his beliefs really are, but again, as far as law enforcement, he's been supportive. As far as corrections at the state level, he's done a lot to, I think, improve
the system. How about guns, though? We haven't got any more with our guns. That's what the one thing I look forward to is when Maryland becomes a shall carry or will carry rather than...
You won't see it, Tim, because of the legislature. The makeup of the legislature is such you'll never see the laws change. Now, I'll tell you what the governor has done to make things a lot easier mm-hmm. for people who want carry permits. You still have to meet that threshold
right.
of what is it...
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. I can't think of the words. But anyway, the governor has allowed a lot more discretion in the issuance of permits.
Good.
And he's blocked bad gun laws.
Good.
So if we've got a governor that does that, I think it's a good governor.
I agree.
As far as guns.
Now, you have an announcement to make. We only have about a minute left.
That's it.
You have an announcement to make?
You know what? I was going to, but it's a little too early. I was going to announce something that we're working on here in Frederick County. For lack of a better term, I'll say an addiction awareness summit
mm-hmm.
that I'm starting to put together with a group of community leaders here. It's going to be an event at the Frederick Fairground in March. It's going to be every recovery, every resource, every treatment center, law enforcement, collectively, everybody in this community that's concerned about the heroin addiction problem and opioid addiction
okay.
problem. It's going to be there for the community, open, free of charge. I want people to come out. And again, I'll get with you a little closer, but
sure.
we're in the planning stages now.
Looking forward to it. Yeah. Frank Mitchell, Sheriff's.